Well, that's quite the set of statements that Paul has in Romans. And the sermon title comes from that. And it's asking the rhetorical question, is St. Paul confused? And I put the saint in there because I usually just call him Paul. I don't think he'd mind. Just to remind ourselves, and to remind me at least, that we're not just talking about some miscellaneous person who had a good idea about something. We're talking about Paul. We're talking about an apostle. We're talking about an extraordinary person with an extraordinary relationship with God that we just can't ignore. And so, to sort of clear things up right from the beginning, we need to remember that Paul is using a literary device here. Paul is not confused, and he's not describing the totality of his life. In much the same way that we can exaggerate for effect using hyperbole, this is almost a form of hyperbole. And so we need to remember that when we're thinking about what's going on, that it's not Paul just sort of working out who knows what in a journal that we happen to read. What is he doing? Paul is grappling with what it means to be a fallen human being doing their best to follow Jesus. And when we look at this passage that Bill read for us, there are some contradictions. there are contradictions in scare quotes in this passage that will help us see the kinds of difficulties that Paul is highlighting. In verse 18, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." Okay, that's on the one side. On the other side, in verse 22, we see, "For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self." Well, there's something going on here. What is it? Well, we have someone saying that on the one hand, they delight in the law of God and that's their innermost self. The part of them that is most real is that part that delights in the law of God. But he also says nothing good dwells within him. So where is the law of God if it's in his inmost part? If he can will what is right but can't do it, then how is that law of God actually there? And then he asks the question that, of course, we're all asking if we get to this point, wretched man or person, whatever we might be that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul is using some strong language here and hopes or expects us to understand that when Paul talks about this body of death, what he's talking about is the unregenerate part of us, that fallen human part of us that doesn't understand what God wants and is unable to do what God asks us to do. That's what the body of death is. And his answer is the last bit that we read. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's giving us a hint. He's letting us know that there is the possibility of something better. What Paul is doing is Paul is showing us the burden of trying to live life on your own. The person that Paul is describing is someone who has a good idea but doesn't know how to carry through on it. Paul's talking about someone with a good heart but without a guide to help them. There are very few things in life that we can do entirely on our own. There are very few things that are natural to all of us, other than the obvious breathing and our metabolism works without us. We don't have to teach that. We don't have to train ourselves that, although we can adjust it with exercise and some other things. What Paul is talking about is someone who has these ideas that there's more to life than just what's just in front of us, the simple things of life, the momentary pleasures, the lowest common denominator. But if we don't have somebody who will show us what comes next, how will we know? We see this in various parts of Scripture where we read things like, how will they know if someone doesn't preach to them? And how will someone preach unless they're called? There's obviously something missing for us in our individual worlds about living a life that we actually want to. Because one of the things that Paul alludes to is the reality of God within us. There is still that flicker, that image of God, that whatever language you want to use, whatever metaphor means the most to you, that says, this is a sign of God's reaching out to us before we could even reach back. But if this is what life is like without a guide, what can it be like with a guide? And that's where we move into our gospel lesson. Because really, what Paul describes, that way of living where you want to do this, you want to go in this direction, and you find yourself over here, in my case, running into the couch instead of going into the kitchen where I wanted to. What a burdensome life that would be. What a tiresome life it is when you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, you have these ideas that you think will make things better, but you don't know the next step. Jesus says, if you take my burden upon you, you will find it lighter. One of the things that we want, especially when we're young and we think that life should work the way we always wanted to, is we want a life that's free of burdens. And I'm afraid that's just not possible. Life is going to have responsibilities and cares and worries, as well as responsibilities towards things we enjoy and we're delighted in. The responsibility of preparing for a birthday party is still a responsibility. There is no life for any human being that is free of work, that is free of burdens of one kind or another. What Jesus says in Matthew is you can choose the burden that you want. And he said if you find your burden weighing you down, driving you to your knees, and you just can't function, he said, well, get rid of it. But you can't have nothing. It doesn't work that way. Maybe we can think of it as another example of nature, in this case, human nature, abhorring a vacuum. And if we try to leave nothing there, something else will come and fill it. So instead of just letting that happen at random, instead of trading one onerous group of responsibilities for another equally onerous group of responsibilities, Jesus says, take my burden upon you. Because what is the burden of Jesus? The burden of Jesus is to live the life that we were called to live, that we were created to live. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? It doesn't mean it won't be work. It doesn't mean that we won't still have to carry the burden. What it means is that we have a burden that is appropriate for us. Not everybody can carry the same kinds of things. Anybody who's had any kind of a job where you had to carry stuff around knows this perfectly well. I've worked in warehouses and I worked as a shipper and some other sorts of things. And there's always someone who can't carry very much. Now, there are some people who won't carry very much, but that's a different group of people. We're not talking about those. You have people who can't carry very much. They're small, or they've been injured, or they just don't have the strength to carry as much as someone else. In a well-run workplace where everyone understands that everyone's doing what they can, that's never a problem, is it? That person over there, okay, they can carry one box, whereas most of us carry two. And that's okay, because they're doing everything they can, we're doing what we can, it's wonderful. Maybe we wish we were like that person over there who carries three boxes. We don't know how. Two is all we can manage. Which of these burdens is wrong? Well, none of them, because each burden is appropriate to the person who's carrying it. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't give the burden of preaching every Sunday to everyone. And I need to be careful here. I don't want you to think that I look at this as an onerous burden, because it's not, because this burden is fitted to me. This work that God has called me to, he has first prepared me for. I had a conversation, as some of you know, I'm taking some time off from work. There's too much going on in our overall lives, so it was important for me to take some time off and make sure that I could stay healthy and well. And when I was talking to the person who's in charge of the whole process of, in this case, it's short-term disability, they said, well, but you're also doing this other thing, namely this. Doesn't that mean you can work? And I said, no, because this is a completely different thing than 40 hours a week of a job that I'm doing by distance and a bunch of other things. Yes, I'm doing this by distance, but through the hand of a gracious God, I've been doing this off and on for more than a quarter of a century. This is restorative to me. This is not draining, because this is the burden that I was created to carry. It's not the only burden. I also have the burden of being a husband, being a father, being a grandfather, which is one of the most delightful burdens you can have. Still has some work. It's not nothing. But these burdens are for me, so they fit me, so I can carry them. When I'm carrying the box or the two boxes or the three boxes that I can carry, the people around me, God is saying, good, you're carrying what you can. That's wonderful. Nobody is saying, oh, you only have one box, here's another. Or you have three boxes, but you should carry four. Well, maybe there are some people like that in our lives, but those aren't the people that matter. Those aren't the people who have given us the burden that actually fits us. That one is Jesus. And that's what Paul is talking about. What Paul is talking about is the incredible amount of work it is to try and do something we simply cannot. To go back to our warehouse analogy, I might want to carry three boxes, but if I do, it's not going to work. Oh, I might be able to do it for a little while. I might will in my mind and in my heart that I will carry three boxes so I can be just like that person over there, whoever they are. But how long can I do that? A day? An hour? Once? It depends what's in the box. Instead of trying to do something that I can't, which means I will do it poorly, I'll give up sooner, I'll fall apart. If it's heavy boxes, I might injure myself and have to be gone for a period of time. If instead of doing that, I look carefully at what I'm capable of and say, this I can do, and this I can do for as long as it needs to be done. That's the kind of burden that Jesus is calling us to. Jesus isn't calling all of us to preach. Jesus isn't calling all of us to be missionaries, to go and serve, to serve him in some capacity somewhere else, like Joyce did, like other people we know did, like my stepmother did. She went to Ecuador and taught students and did all of those things. That wasn't my call. Could I have done it? Oh, I suppose so. Would I have done it well? I'm not so sure. I thought I could, and maybe I would have, but what I ended up doing were the things that give me life, that restore me, that give me energy, that allow me to give to the church from what I have, and to give from a full cup rather than a mostly empty cup, to throw in yet one more analogy. Because when we do the things that we are called to do, that we have been equipped to do, that's when we find ourselves working continuously or continually for a long period of time, because we're doing what we should do. We're not gritting our teeth and somehow grinding our way through it. Because yes, it's work. I have not reached the point, I don't think I ever will, where I can just stand up and preach without any preparation at all. That's foolish. But the work that I do to get ready for this, choosing hymns and choosing prayers or writing prayers or all of the things that go into this, are things I enjoy, are things that I feel satisfaction from, because God has said, this is your burden and it's a good one for you. It fits you. There's never going to be a time in our lives when we don't have to do something. And that's just as well, I think. Very few of us are capable of just doing nothing day after day after day. We all want to do something. And if we listen to Jesus, what we'll often find is that what we're being asked to do are some of the things we want to do the most. What we're being asked to do are things that may take work to prepare, that may take time and effort to do well. But there's a satisfaction that comes in the preparation and in the getting ready, even before the ultimate goal or before the job is completed, and the satisfaction that comes from that. These are spiritual gifts we're talking about, as well as anything else. That part of us that has been influenced and filled by the Holy Spirit so that we can do what it is that we can do best and that maybe no one else in the context can do. We're working with other people with similar gifts to do more than we could on our own. It's a burden, I suppose, if we want to look at it that way. Or we could look at it as an opportunity to do a job and to do it well, and to have the satisfaction that comes from a job well done that I think all of us have known at least at some point in our lives, of looking at whatever it is and saying, I did that, or I was part of doing that, and it's good, and it's exactly as it should be. Sometimes it's building something or doing landscaping. Sometimes it's making sure the spreadsheet balances. Sometimes it's preaching. But whatever it is, that burden that Jesus gives us, compared to the one that we take on ourselves, is a burden that's light, that's easy, that's good for us, and that we enjoy, because that's the burden that Jesus gives us. Amen.